Okay, so we're talking about denominationalism, and does anybody know what denominationalism is to begin with? Okay, it's a division, not necessarily just of churches. You know, we talk about in terms of money, for instance, different denominations of money. You have $1 bills and $5 bills and $100 bills. Well, I don't have very many of those. But, you know, you have all these different denominations. They're all money, okay, but they're different amounts, okay? Well, in churches, that's basically the word that is used, denominations. People say, well, they're all churches, they're just different groups, okay, of the same church is the idea. And that's where the term denominationalism really is applied to churches and religious groups and so forth. Now, the question that I get very often when I sit down and try to study with someone about the Bible, that's a question that comes up, I mean, all the time, right? Why are there so many different churches? Right? If we're all supposed to be following the same Bible and worshiping the same God, why are there so many different churches? And that's it's a question that a lot of people have on their hearts and minds. Okay, and then to follow up that is, with there being so many churches, how do I know which one is the right church? Okay? And so if you have not gotten questions like that from folks, and you try to study and talk with people, then chances are very good that you will get those kinds of questions. All right? So this morning, we're going to look at that whole issue of denominationalism. Okay? Why are there so many churches? We really need to have a good answer, biblical answer, to that kind of a question, okay? So let's look at that, and so we can get a better understanding of that whole issue, and look at where does it come from? What does the Bible have to say about it? Okay, now I don't know if we're going to get through all of this that I have for this morning. That's fine. If we don't, we'll just continue on with it next week. But so we don't want to necessarily rush through this. I want us to make sure that we do get a good understanding of what we're talking about here. All right, so denominationalism, when you think about it in terms of churches, there are just all kinds of different churches out there, all. And we're just, for the sake of our discussion this morning, we're just going to talk about those who are a part of or associated with or connected to or any of those other words you want to use to Christianity. Okay? Let's just talk about that part of it. All right? We're not talking about, and we've mentioned earlier, talking about different world religions and, Hinduism and Buddhism and all the other Judaism and all the other isms that are out there and so forth. We're not even talking about any of that. We're just talking in this about Christianity. Okay? So the question is, you know, you got all these different groups and so forth that are out here, and they've got all kinds of different labels on them. Where do they come from, and how are people supposed to decide? Because it becomes very confusing to folks. They hear about this church, that church, and people genuinely want to know. If they're doing an honest search, okay, they genuinely want to know, where am I supposed to go, and who how do I decide where the right place to go is? Because there are so many choices. I mean, this is worse than Bressler's or what is it, the ice cream 31 flavors? Okay, you're going to see how much worse it is here in just a few minutes, okay? There are just all kinds of flavors and choices of churches out there that are calling themselves Christians, okay? In fact, this chart here shows the growth of Christian denominations. If you can see it down at the very bottom, the year one, how many churches were there that were called Christian? Just one, okay? By around the year 1000, okay? Okay, a little bit after that, we're actually 1054, and this chart basically is following what I'm going to refer to as historical Christianity. And you'll see why I say that in just a few moments, okay? If you follow the history books and encyclopedias, you look up Christianity, this is basically the historical line that those books will lay out for you. Around the time of 1054, or by that particular time, Christianity was basically known as Catholicism. Okay, the Roman Catholic Church was developing and growing, and by 1054, it had split, okay, into the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. Okay, so by that time, we now have two groups of Christians, okay, or Christian churches, all right? And then if you look on here, by about 1800, there were around 500 different groups, Christian groups, okay? But then if you see, now this is, again, Christian, all right, just Christian denominations. By the year 2011, 41,000. 41,000 groups that call themselves Christians, or in one way or another associate themselves with Christianity. Okay? 41,000. Let that number sink in. Okay? And so, again, then it's no wonder why people ask those kinds of questions. How do I know which is the right one? Okay? One kind of, I guess, sarcastic way to look at it, God's word is clear. 41,000 different denominations can't be wrong, right?
No, they can't be right.
Do what?
They can't be right.
They can't be right. But you understand the sarcasm here. There, you know, everybody's supposed to be following the same Bible and worshiping the same God, but we got 41,000 different ways that people are going about doing that. Okay? Do what? Exactly.
How many churches are Christ died for?
Right? That's where we're going to go. But you're exactly right.
But then go to, well, a lot of places.
Yeah. And we're going to see here in just a moment how, you know, why did this happen? How did we get to this point?
People got different attitudes about it. You know, they got their own ideas.
Yeah, they do. They do, Dale. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. There's just all kinds of those kind of things out there.
I don't know where you're going, but right here at this point, in the first century, the churches were all different.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, they were under the same authority of the apostles' teaching and the doctrine and
right.
Jesus' teaching. Now, out of that 41,000, are we saying that there's only one, what do you say? Do you say denomination? There's only one true church? Is it just a name difference, or, you know, are there some that are, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
41,000 that are in different cultures. I don't want to get off this.
Well, and I think that the answer to that, at least what I use, is that there is only one church. Okay? And we're going to see that through the Bible, all right? But we have to understand what is that church made of? In other words, what is the church? Okay? And that's the thing that we've got to be able to help people to understand. There's a big difference between folks that are calling themselves Christians and saying, yeah, we're a church, and those that are following the Lord. Okay? But there's not but one church. The Bible only speaks of one church. Okay? Now, having said that, understand that that doesn't mean that some of those 41,000 churches that are out there that may have a different name are not part of the one true church. They just have a different name. Okay? We have to understand, if you have a group of people that are following the word, okay, then they're the church. Okay? Now, they may not use the same name we do, but they're part of the church. Okay? Now, I don't know what everybody teaches out there. Obviously, there's too many of them to have a clue as to what everybody's out there teaching. All right? But it's not up to us to decide, you know, on every one of those 41,000, you know, who's right and who's wrong. Let's let God do that, okay? But we do have to allow that there are folks out there that are trying to follow what the Bible says. They just don't necessarily use the same name that we do. They're not necessarily part of our fellowship. But does that mean that they're not part of the Lord's church? If they're following God's word, then they're part of the Lord's church. Because I'll tell you this, there are a lot of churches of Christ out there that are not following God's word. Just because they got Church of Christ on them doesn't mean they're part of the church. Okay? So we need to talk about that in terms of, you know, the name. Okay? The name is important, but just having the name on your building doesn't mean you're the church. Okay? And therefore, not necessarily, you know, having the exact same name on the building doesn't mean you're not part of the church. The key is, are you doing what God has told you to do as a church, you see? But we need to let him decide that, okay? I can't speak for all the 41,000 out there. All I can do is speak for us, this congregation of the Lord's church, okay? Did I see another hand up over here? All right, Holloway and then Brian over here. Well, and we have to understand there's two different ways that that name is used by our brotherhood. We need to make sure we're using it correctly. Okay? Brian, you had a thought?
I grew up in the church, and I'm glad you're teaching this class today, because this is an area the church has struggled with, the Church of Christ has struggled with, judging other people who come from other walks and coming up as a Christian, learning as a Christian. Struggle and place judgment. And like you said, if they're following the word, then that makes them no different as a Christian than we are. If they're following the everyday word. Something that I think the Church of Christ has struggled with over the years.
Well, we have, and like I said, to me the biggest thing is I don't need to know, and I don't care what they're all out there teaching and so forth. I'm only responsible for this church, this congregation, okay? And I'm going to make sure that as best I can that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing according to the word. And I'm going to let God worry about all the rest of those, okay? Including those groups of churches of Christ as to whether they are or aren't doing what they should be doing, okay? That's up to God to decide. Myself as the minister here and the shepherds that we have here, our responsibility before God is to shepherd this flock according to his word, okay? And that's what we're striving to do. But the point that we need to be understanding is, again, just getting better information, better informed as to where does all this stuff come from? And again, how do we bring someone, this is really the key to this, how do we bring someone from that where, well, yeah, I'm a this or I'm a that flavor of Christian, how do we bring them from that to an understanding that there is only one church? And that we need to help them to see that it's the church of the Bible. And if you're going somewhere that is not following the Bible, then you need to think about that very seriously, okay, and decide what you want to do. And that's really the point and the purpose of what we want to do. How do we help someone to be able to see that, okay? All right, Wes?
Wes, I've experienced a little bit in my little short life. It seems like... people have the assumption that going to church is like, if you have a destination, say we're going to leave here and go to Richmond, it doesn't make no difference which road you go, as long as we end up in the same place.
Right.
And because they feel like it's okay that you can go to any church, you're going to still, as long as you end up, you know, going to churches, as long as they go to church, they're going to end up in heaven.
Right.
And that's what they, you know, are trying to do. And it doesn't matter that much to them which church they go to. And you have so many different churches because of, like someone said, difference of opinion. And people leave this church and don't know where they can't find what they want.
Right.
So they don't start their own church.
Right. Well, hang on to that thought. That's where we're going to go here in just a minute. But hang on to that thought of that, you know, they can't go and get what they want, because that's an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right?
If you think about it, you imagine a circle that is called the truth. This is what the Bible teaches. In each of these denominations, there's going to be a circle that has a certain amount of overlap in that circle of the truth. And there are probably none, including the Church of Christ, that completely fit within perfectly in that circle, because we're humans. And
exactly.
We can't have a complete and full understanding of every single Bible concept. So, you know, some are going to be much more overlapping into that circle, and some may not overlap it at all, but they're all, you know, going to have some relationship to the truth.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And now, okay, everybody watch your toes. You might want to put them up underneath the pew there, because I'm fixing to step on them a second here, okay? Because we get real high and mighty thinking, oh, well, we got it all together. We're the true church, okay? And just as Dale's saying here, but are we doing everything that we're supposed to be doing as a church? Okay. Well, if we are, then how come we're not more evangelistic than we are? I mean, that's just one topic, okay? And that's one reason why the elders have said, we really need to focus on this, because, guys, we're not doing that very well. Okay. But is that not something that Jesus himself told us we need to be doing? Practice
Christianity and the gospel, I think there are other groups that do a better job.
Yeah. So that tells us, you know, we need to be really, really careful in terms of throwing stones at folks. Again, let's let God deal with them. Let's focus on us trying to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. You see? But how many of you have seen signs like this, maybe driving into a town somewhere, you know, what have you? Attend the church of your choice. Okay? And got, you know, a whole listing of all the churches that are in that particular town. And so, again, the idea here, attend the church of your choice. Right? Which kind of goes to something Wes was talking about here, is, you know, What am I looking for? What makes me comfortable? And so forth. When I talk with folks about church and about, you know, being a part of a church and so forth, it's really amazing to me the kinds of things that people are looking for in a church. Okay? And why they choose one church over another. And one of the things that I talk to people about all the time, you know, and I'll ask them, do you have a church home? You know, and, well, no, I'm kind of looking for one. Well, what are you looking for? Okay? And you get just all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm looking for a place where, you know, where first of all, I can be comfortable. You know, and sometimes that means, you know, the preacher's not going to tell me what I don't want to hear. Okay? He's not going to preach too hard on me, so I can keep on living how I want to live and not be picked on by the preacher. Okay? Some people, that means they want a place where, you know, their kids, whether they got small children or they got teenagers, where they got stuff for their kids. And that's their concern. All right? Do they have a children's program? Do they have a teen program? Do they have young adult program? That's, you know, what are you looking for? For some people, it's music. You know, and I talked to several people times. In fact, one of them was my brother-in-law and my sister, who are musicians, and they, you know, all into music and everything, and you know, their whole thing is they got to have a church where they got lively music. You know, that's the criteria for them. You see? So my point here is that different people have different things, ideas, or criteria that they are looking for in a church. But the one thing that I have found wanting, okay, in terms of responses from people, in fact, I can't even tell you anyone that I have ever talked to about this and have said, I'm looking for a place where they follow the Bible. I just haven't heard that from very many people. You got all kinds of other stuff they're looking for, but to say, I really want to find a church where they're trying to follow the Bible. I don't hear that. Now, I try to encourage them to think about that, and I try to tell them, look, you know, here's something I want you to consider. You know, there's a lot of churches are offering all kinds of different things out there, and you can go and pick a church of your choice, but the more important thing is the church of God's choice and where you're going to hear and you're going to learn the truth of God's word. And that's what I challenge folks with. But initially, in talking with folks, that's not what people are generally looking for. Okay? They're looking for where they can be comfortable. Dale, you had your hand up a moment ago.
Yeah, I think probably more than anything, what people want when they walk into the church is to feel welcome.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how good of a job we do on that, but I think that's probably people's biggest criteria, was because that's what they talk about when they leave. Were the people friendly?
Yeah.
Were they welcome? Did I feel like
Yeah, and I hear from people all the time that, you know, folks that visit and I talk with them, and what I hear from folks is this is one of the friendliest churches I've ever been to. Okay? Now, the thing that we have to understand is that friendliness will get people to come back a few times, all right? But it's not necessarily going to be the thing that's going to, you know, bring them to the Lord, okay? And so, again, we've got to understand, if you want to reach people with the Lord for the truth, then you've got to understand where people are coming from, okay? What is their concepts? What are they thinking of? What are they looking for? The more you understand that, the more then you know where they are, so we can do like Jesus does. You take people where they are. Okay, and part of the things that we've been discussing and Dale's talked about with the Dale Carnegie stuff is, you know, you got somebody who says, oh, I'm looking for this in a church. Well, you know, how do we respond to that? We go, well, that's dumb. What are you looking for that for? You know, you don't want to argue with them. You know, what you want to do is follow what Jesus. You take them from where they are to where God wants them to be. You help them to see what they need to do and the different, you know, different ways to think about things and understand things and basically to go to the truth of the gospel. If we just turn them off right from the very beginning, then you won't probably ever have that opportunity. But that needs to be the goal. But you've got to be able to understand and have some insight into where are they. And that requires you to have asked questions and so forth to find out where are they in their understanding of things and what is it that they're looking for and so forth. Then you can help them to focus on the things that are really important. And so if that's what they want to do, some people, you know, my sister and brother-in-law, for instance, like, now, the music is the most important thing to them, and they're not going to change that. Now, they've bounced around from one church to another looking for better music, okay? But that's what their focus is. So you have folks like that, you understand that's not going to change. Hey, you know what? You move on to somebody else. Okay?
And
all right?
And you've got people that are on the tradition thing.
Right.
They got to go to the church to their mom and dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was born, you know, Catholic, yeah, raised Catholic. My mom is a Catholic. My great-grandmother's a Catholic. I've been Catholic all my life, and so that's what I'm going to be. You're going to run into that and go, okay, fine. that's what you want to do, then your choice. I'm going to move on to somebody else. Okay? Because you made your decision. Here's a statement, and I have to be honest with you. I don't remember where this statement came from. It was in some notes that I have back from my college days, but I think it's a very valid statement. I just didn't have on those notes who it came from. It says, if one were left to pick the church of his choice, he might pick the wrong one. But if he were to do the things the Lord required of him, there would be no doubt but that the Lord would add him to the right church. Okay? Let that statement sink into you. You see, this whole idea of choose the church of your choice, where what's the criteria? Okay, again, I want a place where I can be comfortable. I want a place that has this or that or whatever the case may be, whatever it is I'm looking for, then I'm looking for a place for me. Okay? And if that's our approach to searching for a church, okay, then we're likely to find the wrong place. But if our focus is on doing what God wants us to do, okay, again, I want to try to encourage people, let's focus on learning God's word and what His will is. Then the Lord's going to lead us to the right church. Okay? He's going to lead us where we need to be. And He's going to add us to His church, not the church of our choice. Another aspect of this choosing the church of our choice and so forth is that we, you know, you kind of then have to wonder, well, what is your approach to church to begin with? In other words, why are you going? What needs to be the primary reason that we are part of the church? And that we, as we talk about and use the phrase, that we come to church. We don't come to church, we are the church, but we come to... Yeah. What's the primary purpose, at least what it should be, for us to be doing that, to gather here today? Worship God. That's the number one reason. You don't come here just to listen to me, okay? You get, that's a bonus. All right? Some of you would go, well, keep that bonus, all right? You do come here in part of that worship is to hear God's word, okay? But it's not about the preacher, okay? It's not just about kind of catching up on all the stuff that's gone on in the last week since we've seen each other and all of those other kinds of things. It's not about coming so that we can be entertained. It's not about coming so that, you know, we can, you know, make business contacts and all of those kinds of things that oftentimes people use churches for. If we're not coming here to worship God first and foremost, then we're coming here for the wrong reason. See? Now, all those other things that we do, those are added bonuses. And so we get the fellowship and we get the encouragement and all of those things. But those are not the primary reason that we should be going and to coming together. Now, if we're focused on the wrong things to begin with, we're looking where, you know, a place where they got great music. Well, what's the focus there? It's on me. Okay? If we want to go to a place where the preaching is really good because they make me feel real good, where's the focus? It's on me. Okay? It's really easy to get off the focus of what it should be. And we've got churches out here that are offering people anything and everything that you can imagine. All right? But are they focused on worshiping God? Interesting study came out. This has now been about 5 or so years ago that I read this. And this was a report, a study from The folks that originally kind of started the big mega church stuff, you know, all these big mega churches that are, you know, popped up and all that started about 15, maybe 20 years ago, a lot of those folks that were involved in those ministries came out with a report about 5 years ago. And it's interesting because what they concluded was it's not working very well. To me, the surprising thing was that they were admitting this, okay? In other words, this wasn't just outside people kind of criticizing and tearing down the mega churches. This is the mega church people that are saying, this isn't working very well. Because what they saw was they had a lot of people that were coming in the front door, and at the same time, a lot of folks were going out the back door. And you know what they were saying? This may surprise you. They're saying, we're not getting fed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when I read that, I went, whoa, okay. They're getting entertained, and they have a lot of programs. They got something for everybody, but spiritually, people are walking away from those experiences. And obviously it's not everybody, but a lot of folks are walking away from there going, but there's no real spiritual food here. See? And so it was, you know, an eye-opening admission by those folks. And I don't know, I haven't heard any follow-ups from that at all in terms of what they're doing different at this point. But it kind of goes to that whole issue of bigger isn't always better, okay? And just because you have lots of programs and you have, quote-unquote, something for everyone doesn't necessarily mean that you're feeding people spiritually and that you're bringing people closer to the Lord, especially and primarily in the worship experience, okay? So, you know, this is an important concept here that we need to try to help people to understand and try to help steer them away from this idea of picking the church of your choice. Because church of my choice oftentimes refers to, I think more often than not, it refers to those things we've been saying is where I'm comfortable, where, you know, they have this or that or whatever meets my needs and wants. Okay, Chuck? I'm sorry, say that again, I didn't.
It's where they want to go, where they can be served,
okay.
Not them serving the Lord.
Right. Okay, Chuck?
We're supposed to be worshiping 24-7. Mm-hmm. We come together to worship, but we come together.
That's right. Absolutely. That's why he tells us, the writer of Hebrews in 10:25 tells us, do what? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, right? Okay? God says, I want you to come together. Okay? We need to be doing that. And but again, our focus on that first and foremost needs to be we come together to worship God. Is he not worthy of our worship and praise? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to, you know, people say, well, you know, I can worship God at home or I can worship him, you know, in this place or that place. Well, you may very well can, but God wants you to come together with his people and worship him together. Okay? If you go back and you look in the Bible, there are a lot of different incidents where the problem was over improper worship. Okay? Just look at a story like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was the problem there? Anybody recall? The Persian king wanted them to worship who?
Him.
Okay. And all the, you know, the officials and so forth kind of set things up because they knew these three Hebrews were not worshiping him as God. And, you know, so they set up this whole thing where, you know, they're going to blow the trumpets. And at that time, everybody has to fall down and worship the king. And when that trumpet blew, these three said, not going to do it. not going to do it. I'm paraphrasing, you understand, okay? Go back and read the story. But basically, it's a story about worshiping God. You see? And they were willing to stand out amongst those who would worship false gods in order to make sure they were only worshiping the one true God. Because that's what it's about. It's about worshiping God. Okay? And so part of this in trying to bring people maybe from where they are to where, in at least moving them in the direction of where they need to be, is helping them to understand the importance of worshiping God. That's what it's about. That sometimes we need to help people understand, look, you got to get yourself out of the way here. This is not about you. Okay? It's about worshiping God. Right? What's wrong with denominationalism? Okay, you got this attend the church of your choice attitude, find a church that suits your needs. One church is just as good as another. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. Well, we may run out of time here, but we'll get to it, okay? What's wrong with those kinds of approaches to church? Well, first of all, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says what? I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Right? Not my churches, okay, but my church, singular. One church.
His church.
His church. Belongs to him. Doesn't belong to us. Okay. People oftentimes, you know, they talk to me and, you know, I'm the minister, and they'll say things in terms of, well, your church, does your church do this? I say, it's not my church, first of all. Doesn't belong to me. Okay? I'm just a minister there. Okay? It belongs to the Lord. And some people may say, well, that's, you know, it's important to me that people understand it doesn't belong to me. It's not my church. I didn't die for it. He did. See? And that's why he gets to make the rules, by the way. Okay? Because it's his church, not mine. All right? In chapter 15, Jesus answered, and this is kind of a question about, you know, there's this dispute with the teachers of the law and what they're doing and not doing and so forth. And Jesus says, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Okay? And I think within the context of that, it certainly applies to all kinds of different religious groups that have planted themselves and were not planted by the Lord. Okay? Does Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 apply here? Anybody recall what that says? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many wonderful works? And then I will say to them, what? I never knew you. Depart from me. You evildoers, some translations say. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to church people. Okay? Who are not doing what God wants them to do, but they're doing what they want to do. And they may be doing a lot of good things. Okay? But are they doing the will of the Father? Jesus says here, if the Lord didn't, if Father didn't plant them, then they're going to be uprooted. Okay? They'll be uprooted. Okay. I'm sorry.
Dale brought this up maybe last week or maybe a couple weeks before, but you look at that scripture and you think, well, you know, they got surprised. But that's not true. No. The Spirit of God has let them know that what they need to stop doing that, right. They need to do His will. So it's not a surprise to them.
Yeah.
They knew.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to see some other passages here that that show us that people are not doing what they should be doing. Again, it's not a surprise to them. They've chosen those things. Okay? They've chosen those things. Okay. Wes mentioned something about this a little while ago. This particular that there, you know, what are some of the attempts that people use to justify denominationalism? You know, all these different churches that are out here. Well, John chapter 15 is a place where a lot of folks go, where Jesus talks about being the vine and we're the branches and so on and so forth, okay? And so they use that to justify this kind of thing. Now, I don't know if you can, you probably can't read. I can't read any of those things that are on there. But basically, on all those different branches are different denominational groups, okay, different churches. And folks will say, well, see, according to Jesus, you know, he's the vine, and these are all just the different branches of the same vine, right? And they're all going to the same place because they all belong to the same vine. Is that what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 15? Charlotte, you got your hand up there?
Yeah, what is that? Where is that? I can't see.
Matthew 15, verses 1 through 8 is John, the text there.
John
15. I'm sorry, John 15. What did I say? Matthew, I'm sorry. John 15, 1 through 8.
Okay.
Thank
you. He's talking, he's the head of us, and we are his children. So yeah. We are the vine.
Right. Yeah. And he says, if the vine does not remain in me, what happens to it? It's going to die. Okay? But see, this is an example of how people will take a particular text out of context to be able to justify particular thoughts and beliefs and teachings and doctrines and so forth. And say, well, yeah, that's what Jesus is talking about, is all we're all just part of the same vine. We're just different branches to it, so they're all going to heaven, you say. And no, that's not what he's talking about at all here. And Lynette?
You're part of the same vine. You have the same characteristics as right. The root. And
yeah.
Oh,
absolutely, because the way that it is, you know, if we're all part of the same vine, but, you know, some of us are grapes and some of us are apples and some of us are oranges and some of us are peaches and some, you know, there's even a few bananas on there, you know, and, you know, who else knows whatever kind of kiwi and whatever other stuff might be growing on that vine? It doesn't work that way. Okay.
The modern version is a computer network.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you got this computer, and it's on a whole different network.
Right.
It's not connecting to the same place.
Right.
It's not part of the same vibe.
Yeah. And again, it's just that we have, you know, this kind of a concept, and this is a really prevalent concept that people have today about, you know, all the different churches, and that justifies having all these churches and how they explain it. Well, they're all just branches of the same tree and all belong to the same God, and so we're all going to the same heaven. We're just going by different routes. Okay, well, we'll talk about those different routes next time. All right, we're out of time. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay.